I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Okay. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Rugby Dungeon. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Today, I'm with a Northampton club legend, but he's also making his bones now as the attack and skills coach at Bristol Bears, who, let's face it, are a very skillful attacking team. So, Bruce Ray Horner, how are you?
Very good, thank you, and yourself?
Yes, good, thanks. What have you been up to today?
I had an hour skill session with some of the guys that want to do skill extras on their day off. It's always optional for the boys that want to come and work their skills on their day off. It's obviously just top-ups and guys wanting to fine-tune their passing, kicking and tackle tech. Pretty low key today, just to get those the confidence building going into our Thursday and then Friday training before the game.
Awesome. So, hang on, is it day off today at Bristol Bears?
Yes. You have a Wednesday off, and you have optional skill options put in place. So, if guys want to come and work on their, to say, for instance, line out jumping, scrum tech, passing skills, kicking skills, and also tackle tech. They have all those options available for us coaches to go and meet them and just take it at a low key, but more about the right technique in place.
Interesting. So how well attended are these sessions, or are the boys all off having coffee?
A lot of boys tick off their boxes on the Tuesday training. Tuesday is our big day of training. We do a unit session, so split backs and forwards. Afternoon's always together, and then we do extras after the session as well. And then there's other guys that, I guess it's guys that really don't haven't got to where they need to, and they just feel they need a top up and get that extra confidence going in for the Thursday training. You know, sometimes when you're in a training, things don't quite go your way, so it's just nice to come back in and get that confidence build on a day off, just to tick that box and keep you confident for the first day ahead.
It's some great dedication.
Yeah, it is indeed. And we've got to know there's a lot of boys pushing hard and really trying to put their hands up, and it's really good. And, you know, the reward is always through the hard work that they're putting in, so that's really exciting.
Do you find there's a certain profile of player that comes to top-up sessions? Like the guy who is competing for that first team place, but not quite nailed on first team, or some of the academy lads hunting for new contracts, or a contract, I should say.
Yes, yep, for sure. All of that, all of what you said. And also some of the senior guys too that are senior pros and internationals, when they've had little niggles and they're just coming back into it, they pop in on those sessions as well and tick that box. Everyone needs that extra bit of confidence build to go into the Thursday training. And then obviously build into the weekend. It's just a nice way to get back in and, as I say, get that confidence to move forward.
Now, Bruce, you had a very storied career over here in the Northern Hemisphere, but before moving up, you accrued 3 caps for the All Blacks. Why did you decide to move up to the Northern Hemisphere when, you know, presumably you could have added to that tally?
Yeah, I honestly thought I could have as well, and I thought it was my time to maybe put a stamp on and claim a few more caps. But things didn't happen that way. Coaches changed, and they had other ideas on other players, unfortunately. And I stayed for, I think it was a year and a half, 2 years. Had a few people saying that you got to be selected, you're playing really well, and your chance is going to come, and got denied twice. So after the second time being denied and pushing myself really hard, I thought, right, I'm going to change my goals now, and I want to go somewhere else and try and start again and prove myself, see if I can be the best player I can in a different country. And for me, that was in Europe.
Yeah,
because I knew the rugby was still at a high level.
Yeah, I mean, that must be quite some decision to decide, yeah, okay, I'm not going to play for the All Blacks, can that, and then come up here.
Yeah, mate, it was really, really hard because, you know, as a youngster, you set that as your goal, and it's always just a dream. And whenever it comes to reality, you just want more and more and more. And to be able to give that away was really, really tough. But I didn't want to stay there and be a coulda, woulda, shoulda, played more. I wanted to achieve more in rugby. So that's why I had chances to go to Japan, but no offence and disrespect, but I thought the rugby back then was, you know, was pretty amateur. And I thought over here in Europe was a very high level rugby. And I wanted to, if I was going to start again, I was ready to start from the beginning, earn that respect and try and be the best foreign player in Europe.
Do you still think that the rugby up in Europe is as high class as it could be compared to the Southern Hemisphere?
I always think it can improve. I mean, I think rugby everywhere, there's always ways to improve and get ahead. But I think the skill level is getting a lot more higher over here than what it used to be. And I think if we look at both sides of the world, you know, back in New Zealand, when we watch them play and how they've been dominating over the last few years, it's just because everybody's skill level is just a little bit better than everyone else. Mm. Yes, it's key having X-factor players in certain positions, but, you know, when we see big props doing quick passes and wide passes and just the same as what the backs can do, I mean, those are game changers. Yeah. And I think now we're really starting to see that over here.
Yeah, that's really interesting, actually, because, you know, when I say Bruce Ray Horner, everyone thinks fullback, and then you add into that skills and attack coach, everyone assumes you're working with, you know, Charles Pietau and Ian Madigan. But actually, a lot of that is based around the forward pack.
Yeah, definitely. No, it's everyone these days. You know, forwards and backs are, yes, we have our own roles, but skill level has to be up there because you never know these days in whatever position you are when you're going to get the ball and that little pass, if you're able to go get it and tip it on to put a player away, that can be the winning and losing of a game. And no matter what position you are, you've got to be able to, you know, be able to get the ball and pass it short or wide if needed, and because those are the game changers these days, and you know, small differences make up the, you know, the win or lose at the end. Mm.
Yeah, it's a really interesting one, Matt, because when you watch Bristol, I mean, they are a very skillful team, and you play incredibly attacking rugby, but it seems to be skills within quite, well, not rigid structure, but there's certainly a structure there. So how do you, Pat, and all the other coaches go about putting this team together to achieve those, you know, quite magnificent results, actually?
Yeah, well, we know we're working really, really hard together to keep everyone on the same wavelength. And I think everyone has their part to play in the team, whether it be defence, you know, Iroh with the scrum, JT with the forwards and attack, and Connor is our strategy and backs coach. And then myself with the skills and moral defence. You know, we've all got to put that, it's a big picture, and we've all got to put it together. Everyone's working hard to mould the team, and it's really, really exciting. But I think for me, it's just knowing that what our game plan is, how our structures are, and then fitting in our skills to work around that. So everything I do is aligned to the bigger picture, and that's how we're all working. You know, we've all got our roles, but it's all working to the same vision of where we want to take the team. So it falls in together really nicely.
So, in your role then, Bruce, when you see a player, do you immediately know how you can improve him? And how much, I mean, can you give me some examples of lads you've worked with? Don't give me any names, but, you know, just lads you've worked with, and then how you've improved them to get to the level required to play for Bristol Bears?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is mainly passing technique, and most of the game is all about catching the ball, passing the ball, and if the more you can be accurate with that and the more you can have rip on the ball, then the bigger differences you can make in the game. So, yeah, just for instance, like guys catching the ball with their hands open and almost scooping it into their body, that slows their reactions time down, which gives the defence another metre or two to gain on you. We're trying to coach the boys to go get the ball, sort of like a basketball style, where you reach out, you get your hands to the ball, and then your movement and eyes are almost fixed in front of you so you can see what's going on. And if you want to transfer the path again, you can do it in the same motion. So it's almost just taking away time, and it makes a massive difference to your game. So a lot of focus on going to get the ball, you know, meeting your hands when the ball's coming, put your hands out to go get it, and you can transfer the ball a lot quicker. A lot of those things, and also just body movement, going to contact, knowing how to drop your body and you know, get the fin working or drop the shoulder to protect yourself, foot movement, and also kicking skills, the transfer of ball to foot, what line it needs to be on, and how to finish with your leg through the ball and the direction of where you want it to go. So I look at all those little minor details and see how I can correct the players and help them out individually.
Are you ever shocked, and this is a bit of a cruel question, but are you ever shocked when you get hold of a player who's made it to the top level and you think, how have you got so far with, you know, the set of skills which you have, whether it be an inadequacy at kicking or passing or catching or whatever it may be?
Well, I think you can develop all skills in all different areas, and we encourage players to do so because it just gives you more X factor. You know, when you arm your toolbox with a lot more options, and then almost the game seems a lot easier. And when you get into difficult situations, because you got confidence,
yeah.
And we almost train ourselves to be able to, you know, overwork that movement, so when it does happen in the game, it just becomes natural. You don't have to think about it. It's already, or your body's already reacting to it. So, you know, we're trying to make it consistent. But I think no matter what height of the game you're at, what level you're at, if you're international, I mean, they're there for a reason, because they try to push in every certain areas to make themselves better. And I think that's the big learning curve for anyone. You know, don't ever think you can't do a skill. Always just be patient, work hard on it, and you can develop it. And what that'll do is add an extra bow to your game.
Now, I always remember you playing in the same back line as Carlos Spencer. As a coach now, I mean, is a lad like Carlos Spencer the kind of guy that you would like to coach? Or are those sort of skills which he has just born into him and he'll be who he is and everyone else has to do things slightly differently?
That's a very good question. And just after the experience of playing with him and playing against him, Carlos had, he was naturally skillful. He did work on those skills all the time, but I think the biggest weapon he had was that he was never afraid to try something.
Yeah.
If he thought it, he did it. And that's where most of the time it came off, where in other situations, we'd have a lot of guys in those same situations, they'll think it, but never do it. And I think that's what made him great, was that he was never afraid to try it. If it didn't work, he'd try it again.
Yeah.
You know, because he knew if he got it right, he could pull it off. And I was lucky enough to be on the end of a lot of those tries.
Yeah, it is actually remarkable bravery, that, because, you know, not many, particularly in rugby nowadays, if you make a mistake, the consequences for your team can be enormous.
Yes, yeah. I tell you what, the game is evolving and changing so much, and you've got to be open-minded to adapt and change with it. Otherwise, you get left behind. And, you know, I think it's like we always encourage guys to improve their skills the best they can, and don't be afraid. But as long as we're thinking about the team and not me, we can't go too far wrong.
How do you encourage the boys then to, you know, actually execute these things on the field? Because it's one thing being able to do it, but if you lose a game, and, you know, Bristol this year have come up, you don't want to go down again. I don't think you will, but, you know, are you saying to the lads, look, go out and do it, and don't worry if it goes wrong? It's just one of those things. We'll get it right next time. How do you encourage them to play?
Oh, no, the thing is, we pride ourselves on looking after the pool. That's the number one, and it's all about team. You know, within our structure, then, I mean, you've got to come up against so many certain situations, and that's why we try to coach so many different scenarios, that we've got confidence of being able to shift that ball on if we need to. But if in doubt, if there is ever any doubt, then just hold the ball and we can play again. You know, it's a very, very fine line between
it
making the big mistakes and the small ones. But, you know, we fully back our players to work hard and see the pitch of what they see and execute their role as best they can. But if there is any ever question marks, then just look after the pool and we'll go again, because eventually we can break them down and score.
So what's the culture like in training? Because, you know, I've been at clubs and, you know, you throw an offload and they go, you know, that's ridiculous. You know, we don't shovel shit, or what, you know, whatever the in phrase is at the moment. Like, so what's the culture with you boys? Do you does everyone gather around and say, that's absolutely fine, you'll hit it next time? Or is it you pile onto that player to make sure he doesn't do it again?
No, we've got a great culture amongst the team that the players keep each other very accountable, and also us as coaches. When there is too many drop balls going down, our skippers and our leaders pull the team in and say, look, this isn't right. And in certain words, we know we're better than that. Let's refocus and go again. So the boys are tough on themselves, which is good. We've created that environment now where we want to challenge each other. We can do it, but it's all in a constructive way.
Mm. Now, just changing the subject slightly, when you decided to come up to the Northern Hemisphere, why did you choose Northampton? What was it about that club which initially attracted you?
Well, it was Wayne Smith. Wayne Smith picked him to be an All Black. He heard of what was going on in New Zealand. He goes, mate, it's not very good, but this could be a different option. Would you come over and play over here? And as soon as he asked me that, I said, yep, because for me, he was the best coach I had.
God, that's amazing.
It was a no-brainer, yeah.
When you said that, because I think Wayne Smith's probably considered the best coach in the world now. He was probably considered one of the best coaches in the world then as well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know a lot of players who say that same thing, and I'm another one. Yeah. He was very, very good.
What was it about Wayne Smith that you enjoyed so much?
Well, I think mainly he coached the individual before he coached the team. You can always tuck structures in place and create a team environment, but if you individually haven't got the skill set to go out on the pitch and to perform the way you need to, then you're going to have certain areas of a breakdown. And he made sure that individually you knew exactly what you needed to work on week in, week out to get yourself better in that position to make it better for the team. And once everyone got to a level where they were that good at that position, then the team just worked and functioned really, really well. And constantly week in, week out, he'd give you feedback on individually what he needed to work on. And, it was a good learning curve. And I really do feel when I came over here and got coached by him personally with Northampton, I developed as a player much better.
Yeah.
And become a better rugby player.
Yeah. I mean, your Northampton days are interesting, aren't they? Because, you were an All Black, and that is probably the pinnacle of the game. You've come over to Northampton, you're working with one of the best coaches in the world. Northampton have a cracking squad at that time. And then somehow you find yourself in the Championship. How did that develop you? Because, that's got to be a bit of a kick to the old ego.
Yeah, well, for me, it was just a big kick because us as a team didn't succeed. And we had a few inner issues which made us be in that position because we should have never been there if we were united as a team and as a staff. But it obviously showed that we weren't, and that was after Smithy left, unfortunately. I really believe if he had stayed there, we could have won some trophies, but he went back to his dream and did so well. But the only reason why we don't, like I said, was we weren't connected as a team and as a staff, and it just wasn't right, and we needed to go down and have a good look at ourselves. And for me, going down, I had a chance to leave, yes, but I felt that I was a part of that leadership which let the club go down, and I wanted to be a part of bringing that club back up to where it should have been and creating a whole new culture and an environment again. And, I absolutely loved that challenge down the Championship.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Going back to grassroots clubs and rugby and, connecting with the people outside of the rugby, the crowds, the supporters, and creating a whole new culture again. And I thought through doing that, it actually made us a lot stronger.
Yeah, I can only imagine the effect it must have on seasoned pros like yourself going down for a season, mixing with some of the new lads that you're bringing up. It's got to bring you closer as a group.
Yeah, it did, and it was really, really good for us. You know, I remember talking to Carlos during the time and asked him what he was doing. He goes, "Well, if you're staying, I'm staying." And I said, "Well, I'm staying." And he goes, "Sweet, I'm staying with you. I'm staying with you then." So yeah. It was good.
Yeah, because if you go through Wikipedia, occasionally I go through Wikipedia because I'm a bit boring, and you look at the record scores against and record scores for clubs. A lot of the clubs in the Championship, their record losses are pretty much all to Northampton. Like Sedgley Park was 101-0 or something.
Yeah, I remember. Geez, we had a lot of big games, but also we had a couple of near misses where we got a little bit overconfident, and I remember it was two games. One of them might have been Moseley, one of them might have been Exeter, where we just won by 1 point, just because we got a little bit ahead of ourselves.
Yeah,
and it gave us a rude awakening, to be fair. But then on the flip side, when we were on, we were really, really sharp. But again, you know, it was a great, great learning curve. It was good for our culture to realise that we weren't all just stars out there running tries on every weekend. We had to front up, make sure we front up like true pros, because you never know who could beat you on the day.
Absolutely. Do you have any memories of the grounds that you went to? Because I imagine they're a lot different to the grounds you went to when you're in the Premiership.
Yeah, Cornish Pirates, Cornish All Blacks.
Yeah,
down in Launceston, there were some interesting grounds. Moseley, Rotherham. New Plymouth.
you really do travel away from a lot of the centres of population when you're in the Championship.
Yeah, we did. We did a lot of bus journeys, long bus journeys, which again were challenging, but a lot of fun because again it made us gave us more time to connect as a team,
yeah,
with each other, have games and fun, and you know, on and off the pitch. So I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think it's also really nice. I mean, it's not nice, I suppose, for the opposition team who are getting thumped. But we had, I live up in the Northwest, and Fylde Rugby Club, which is in Blackpool, had Jason Robinson for a season. And you can imagine, when Fylde go away to other teams and they bring Jason Robinson with them, it packs out the opposition team's clubhouse.
Yeah, indeed. I could imagine it'd be amazing, imagine it?
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. Like, I remember every game we went to away, we had more home fans than away fans at every ground, because a lot of our supporters followed us everywhere. It was very passionate at the Saints. And we had more home supporters, but everyone was just there to, you know, support, enjoy the game, be a part of what was happening. It was brilliant. You know, and again, at those grounds, they filled them out with as much of their support as they could, just because of some of the stars we had in our team. Yeah. And it was great for us to share that with them.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess it would be the same for lads in your own team. I mean, I remember, I'm pretty sure that I remember it would be someone like Carlos, Rodri Gomez-Davis, and then you on the outside. And, it, you know, for that lad, it must have been like a dream come true. It'd be bizarre.
Yeah, we had Chris Nesson at that stage too. He was the first year in with us.
Oh, yeah, of course he was.
And he scored something like 38 or 42 tries. It's crazy.
Yeah, well, I think that's kind of, I think it's where that Northampton team built their nucleus, because was Tonga Weir in that side? Tonga Weir and Mujati?
Yes. Yep, Tonga Weir and Mujati. Courtney Laws was there too.
Crikey.
Dylan Hartley, he was there as well.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's
some good players.
Yeah, I mean, looking back at it now, because they were right at the beginning of their careers. I mean, whoever selected that squad, I think it was Jim Mallander, actually. Did one hell of a job.
Yeah, no, it was really good. It was, and like I said, it happened for a reason, and it was a great place for us to be. And then it was Jim and Doyne that took over and got us back up to where we needed to be. It was a really fun year.
Yeah, you were saying about taking the away fans, sorry, your home fans away with you most weekends. I tell you, another club that does that really successfully now is London Welsh, but they're at like level, because they've gone all the way down to level 9 or level 8 or wherever they are now, you know, 7 leagues below. They're taking something like 1,500 fans to each and every game.
That's awesome. Absolutely awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, you can imagine that playing for some local team around London somewhere.
Oh, yeah, mate. It'd be brilliant. You know, and it's things like that, too, that just as a player makes you want to give more. You know, when you see your support supporting you like that, you just want to play harder. You want to do more for them.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Well, I mean, Bristol, you know, Bristol have been the surprise package this year, not in terms of their rugby, but for me, in terms of their support. I always knew Bristol was a popular team, but I had no idea that you'd be dragging in the numbers that you currently are.
Yeah, no, it was really exciting. I remember coming down here and playing at the Old Memorial Ground, and I always thought the support was very passionate back then. And when I had the opportunity to come in, I thought, yep, this is going to be a great project to be a part of. Yeah. Saw what's been happening in the future and knew where it could go when Pat gave me the vision of the club, and I was really pumped and excited.
Yeah.
And really, really enjoying where we're going. And the support, you can feel it around the town. The excitement is certainly there.
Yeah, well, you're not the only one to move to Bristol for the rugby. When I was choosing my universities, I'm originally from North Wales. I literally chose the universities based on where there's a professional rugby club so I can go and watch some rugby. So I got down to De Montfort in Leicester and University West of England in Bristol. So I moved to Bristol just to watch the rugby. And that year they got relegated.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And that was with Contopomi and Pichot, Julian White, Gareth Archer. Yeah, some real Jesus. Quality players. And they went down.
Wow. Yeah, I tell you what, you can have as many stars as you want, but if you don't quite get it right as players and as staff, it's just not going to work. You have to be united.
Yeah. Tell me this, Bruce. Do you and the Bristol coaches get round to many of the local clubs in Bristol?
I know Pat has. Pat gets around. He's super busy. You know, he leads us brilliantly down at the Bears. And we try to get around it as much as we can with our job. It's very difficult because we're so busy in what we're doing. But I know Pat's connected with our academy and all what's going on around Bristol because we're very keen to try and get as many players through the system as possible for a Bristolian.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, Bristol is an absolute hotbed of rugby talent. Have you been impressed with the talent which has been coming through the academy so far?
Yeah, it's been good. You know, we're working with a lot of those young boys that are very, very keen to work hard and develop their game and obviously put their hand up for selection. So, you know, it's great to see. And that's what you want, really. You want all of them, as many as our youngsters coming through through the academy and the development as we can. Mm. So, you know, we're very, very excited for the future to see more and more players put their hands up and come through the system.
Now, I understand you're midway through a Premiership season at the moment, so probably not the fairest time to ask you this. But if you were to take a step back and have a look at the team as they are now, would you say that you've met your expectations so far?
Good question. I would say we're very, very excited and confident in where we're heading over these next few months of the season.
Hmm. And what for you would constitute a really good season rather than, you know, something which you kind of expect to be doing?
Making top six.
And do you guys think that that's achievable? And how far do you think that this group of players will go next year and the year after?
Oh, I think, you know, we're certainly able to make top six if we can keep working hard and keep staying tight as a team. It's all there. As you see on the table, so much can change week in, week out by a win or a loss. You know, you can jump a few places. Like Marseille was down the bottom. They've won five games. Now they're in top four.
Yeah.
It can easily change on it. So much more can happen, and it's going to be a really exciting end to the season. You know, we've got some big games coming up, a lot like everyone else, and it's all about taking those chances when they come and you can really step up the ladder, which we can do. Got a lot of work to do, and we're really excited where we can go. And I think for the future, the way we're building, you know, we'd love to be in Champions Cup. We'd love to be up there fighting for trophies, and you know, that's what we're inspiring to be and to do.
Yeah, I mean, I actually think it's because of Bristol that this league this year is so incredibly tight. And this is no disrespect to other teams that have gone down in the past or other groups of players, but in the past, you sort of knew who was going down. And therefore, you know, it didn't, you obviously have to play hard every week, but you knew London Irish were going down, or you knew Bristol were going down the year before.
Yeah.
And this year, we have no idea.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, it's, and the competition is just stepping up year and year out. You know, the teams are getting bigger and better, but so it's a competition. Everyone, it's all pretty much evening out now. And if, you know, it comes down to the smallest margins.
Yeah. You know, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, statistically, the worst team in the league is Newcastle, and they're a bloody good team.
Yeah, I know. And you tell you what, there's going to be so many more swings and changes.
Yeah.
We've just got over halfway, and, you know, anything can happen from here on again. And that's where, again, you just got to stay positive, stay confident, keep on the same wavelength, keep pushing hard, because every weekend is a whole new challenge. And anything can happen, and if you're on the same wavelength and you're switched on, you know, you can start getting on a bit of a roll, and that's what it takes sometimes. It's getting a bit of a roll, then you get the confidence up, the trust is there, and then away you go. So it's very exciting.
Now, I just want to gauge your opinion on something. It's a kind of a bit of a departure, but, you know, it'll all make sense. There were a few reports in the press this week or last week about the size of players and how players are getting ever bigger. Do you think that rugby will eventually solve this problem of bigger lads? And do you think it's just a passing phase, or do you think this is a trend that is bound to continue?
Oh, man, I think it's good. It's always going to continue. You're always going to have players of different sizes and width and height. It's just a part of the sport, unfortunately. And most bigger people want to play rugby, and it's a contact sport, and they suit that environment, and they'll keep pushing for it. And I think you're always going to have that mix.
Yeah.
And for the smaller guys too, it's been brave. And obviously, it's a different thing. When you're bigger, you're more confident to get in a contact sport. When you're smaller, you want to play that game, but you're not too sure because of the contact. There's so many different variables. But if you want to do it, no matter what size or how hard the sport is, you know, give it your best. Don't be shy.
I mean, do you personally look at the players that you've got under your control at Bristol and think, crikey, this is a big set of lads?
I guess sometimes, we do. Yeah, sometimes we look at players and we think, you know, some of these guys need to put on a couple more kilos, and others need to lose a few to get more fitter and stronger. There's always going to have that happen in the game, because, you know, the small inches make the biggest differences.
Yeah. Now, because you're on the inside of Bristol, I don't want you to give away the state secrets, but I always like to ask, are there any young lads there who've really caught your eye, and as fans we should be excited about watching in, maybe not this year, but next couple of years?
Yeah, youngster Charlie Power rings the bell. He's a youngster coming through. He's Bristolian too, coming through the ranks. He's a young boy, got a great physique. Loads of potential. James Dunn, another one of our youngsters. I suppose to me, all of them seem very young, so they've all got opportunities. Yeah. But it's exciting. It's good to see those young fellas coming through, and he's training with us. All those boys are training with us every week as pros. So they've come through the academy system.
And will Bristol be looking towards the Premiership Cup, which is obviously just around the corner now, as a chance to, you know, get some of these younger lads on the field, or will you use it to continue to get your first team a bit more continuity together?
Well, I think it's gonna. I guess that's a good question, and I think that'll be one that Pat would answer correctly for you.
Yeah,
but I think from being back home, where you play two seasons in a year and you have two off seasons, to being over here when you're playing three different competitions in 1 year, it's very, very hard to get that balance right and knowing, you know, how to rotate the squad, etc.
Yeah.
And I think when you get, I mean, it showed in the Challenge Cup, you know, we've rotated the squad really well, and the players who have played for that squad have done brilliantly. We've been given a chance, and the players have taken it. So, you know, full credit to the squad for doing that. And I think, you know, again, when it gets to playoffs, you've just got to look at who's fit and available and play the best you can.
Well,
so it's exciting.
I'll ask you one more question. It's a bit of a lengthy one. And then I'll wish you all the best and let you get off. But can you just give me a couple of words about what it's like working with Pat Lam and the sort of stuff he's done with Bristol to assemble this coaching staff and get you guys to where you are now?
Oh, geez. Well, for me, it's very, very exciting. You know exactly where you're going and the vision for the club that Pat has set. We're very clear on where we want to go to, and one thing that really excites me is the future of this club and where we can get to. And it's, you know, it's Pat's work ethic is evidence and where we want to go as a club and as a team, and you know, we're all excited on the journey that we are with, and every day is a joy to go to work.
Excellent. Well, I wish you all the best. I think it's a really exciting project, and I think you guys are doing great work. So, Bruce, I'll let you get off. Oh, by the way, are you on social media at all? Can anyone follow you on any social media channels? See what you're up to.
No, I'm just on FB. I'm not on Instagram or Twitter.
Not down with the kids, eh?
Not yet.
All right then, Bruce. Well, well, thank you so much, and I hope we can catch up again soon.
Cool. No worries, mate.
Cheers, mate. Bye-bye.
Cheers, bud. Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud. Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.